بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعدها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى، وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لساقت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: من أخلص لله 40 صباحا جرت ينابيع الحكمة من قلبه على لسانه. صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
We were talking on the subject of Ikhlas, and in the series of lectures we ended up on those 25 practical tips that were mentioned by Ayatullah al-Uzma Sayyid Mahdi Tabatabai Bahrul Uloom Rahmatullahi Alayh, and we discussed 21 among those 25 practical tips for the purification of the soul. And tonight we will discuss, inshallah, the 22nd and the 23rd, and this discussion is going to come to an end very soon, inshallah. The 22nd point that Sayyid Bahrul Rum had mentioned is to have tawakkul in the process. Tawakkul means relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala entirely in the whole process of purifying our soul and working for the tazkiyah of the nafs. The level of tawakkul is so high in Islam and in the knowledge of akhlaq that only those who are khawas, those who are the special people, special servants of Allah, can reach this level. As a matter of fact, it's easier said than done. Practically speaking, when we are living in this world where we have been habituated with all these means and tools, material means and tools, and the asbab, the causes which take us to the effects, it becomes really hard for a person to on one hand to get engaged with those asbab and causes, on the other hand still not get attached to none of those asbab. So there is a very fine line which is very hard to draw practically, and people end up going to two extremes in this matter. First extreme, ifrat and tafreet. The first extreme is just to negate the asbab, the causes, and just try to say, God is going to help me. that this is not going to work. God Himself has created the causes. So you have to go for the causes in order to achieve their results and effects, but don't rely on them. So there's a very fine line. There are some people who get frustrated or are ignorant about that. So what they say or what they do is that they ignore their responsibility. They ignore their duty towards performing the causes. This is one extreme which is frequently found in the society. And the other extreme is that some people go for the causes. They are not the ones who ignore their responsibility towards the causes. They are going for the causes, but they get attached to the causes themselves. So they are so much dependent, they become so much dependent on the same causes that all they are focusing on is the same causes. So they can't think beyond the cause, and they start relying on the causes themselves, forgetting the fact that the causes were created to be the cause by the creator of all causes, who is the Khaliqul Asbab and Musabbibul Asbab, the one who arranges the causes to be causes, the one who creates the causes to be causes, who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So He is the one who gave the causality to all these causes. So these are the two extremes, and literally speaking, the word tawakkul, misunderstood commonly, is in the lughat, in the dictionary, it means al-wukul, yani tarkul amr ila al-ghair wa tafwidhuhu ilayh, relying on someone else and surrendering the thing in the hand, in the control of somebody else. This is literal meaning of tawakkul. So you totally leave the matter in the control of someone else. Islamically speaking, the meaning of tawakkul in Islam is that you i'dadul muqaddimat, you arrange the means and causes, and al-ittikalu ala iradatillah, and you depend on the irada and will of Allah to take you to the result. This is the Islamic meaning of tawakkul and reliance in Allah. That means you do your side of the duty, you perform all the muqaddimat, the prelude, the means and tools and causes that will take you towards the results. You perform all those things, but don't rely on them. Rely about the result on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will and authority. So denying the causality of the causes, the sababiyyat of asbab, illiyyat of the ilal. If somebody says, I don't care about the, you know, going towards performing the causes, this is a qawl al-jahil. And only an ignorant person can say that kind of remark, because Allah Himself created His entire universe, and He is running the whole universe with certain causes that He Himself created. And because of the theory of cause and effect, an ordinary person and every human being can discover the existence of God. So if this theory itself is negated, you know, for an ordinary human being, it's become very hard, because that's the simplest of the evidences to understand the existence of Allah. So the theory of causality can never be negated except by a jahil person, because everything in the universe Allah is performing. He is the power behind everything, He is the creator of everything, but He is doing certain things according to His own principle, which says you have to do the cause to get the result, to get the effect. That's His own principle. He created it to be like this. So we need to go for the causes without depending on them. So nafyul asbab is the qawl al-jahil. Denying the causes is the statement of an ignorant person. And rafzul ilal, how my teacher Allah was saying in his lesson, that rejecting to rely on the causes, Rafdul ilal means you reject to rely on the causes. You are going for the causes, you are performing the causes, but you are rejecting to rely upon them. Rejecting to rely is qawlul arif. That's the statement of a person who has the ma'rifat of Allah. Only that kind of person would believe in this. Denying the causes is the statement of an ignorant, and rejecting the causes in terms of relying upon it. So we don't rely on the causes, we rely on Allah for the results. That's what an arif would say. So our risk, our sustenance, our affairs of life, all those matters that are taking place in the life, our tawajjuh and focus is on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We perform all the causes which we are required by the Sharia to perform. So the Sharia obliges us to do certain things. Like for example, I have to go on and you know, to seek risk, to work hard, to make money, because God asked me to do that. Of course, the sustenance is in His control, like everything else is in His control. But that doesn't mean I don't have to go out for work every morning. This is the sign of every moment that we go out for work, we do our job, we do whatever is required from us to perform within the framework of halal, what is permissible by the Creator. So we go out, we work hard, but at the end of the day, are we gonna get the result of our efforts? We are not depending on my efforts, I am depending on Allah about the result. So this is how a mu'min is supposed to be. So so we find that when that happens, this is what we call in the istilah as al-inqita'u ila Allah, as compared to al-inqita'u ila al-asbab. These are two different things. Inqita' ila al-asbab means breaking away from breaking away towards the causes, and al-inqita'u ila Allah means breaking away towards Allah. So in the dua we read in the Munajat al-Sha'baniya such a great dua. We read Allah ilahi habli kamal al-inqita'i ilayk. Oh my Lord, give me the perfect inqita' towards you. That means I should perfectly break away from all the causes and start depending on you instead of depending on the causes. So these du'as, you know, like I always say in my speeches, if Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam did not teach us, we wouldn't have had the proper words to even address Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How to put it, we don't know. When we make du'as on our own, in so many cases you find there's either ignorances or faults or mistakes or inappropriate statements which are not even appropriate to phrase the thing in those words. That's how, because we are ignorant. But when you turn to the du'as of the Prophet and you compare the similar du'a that he asked and the similar kind of thing that we try to make on our own, and then you compare it in the light of ilmul akhlaq and ilmul irfan, then we will discover that what are the ignorances that are found and inappropriate things that are possibly found in our du'as as compared to theirs. So, you know, you find some of the people end up saying, you know, about their enemies, you know, I pray that Allah kills my enemies. Isn't that right? It's a very common feeling. When you have some enemy, you are full of hatred and bugh against your enemy. It's natural for a regular person, ihtimalan, to end up saying, oh my Lord, kill my enemy. Isn't that right? In his prayers. But I have never seen in my own life, you know, in any of the lectures that I benefited from. I never heard any of the Urafa ever praying about any zalim in this world, oh my Lord, kill him. I never heard in my life. Instead, what I heard the Urafa saying, oh my Lord, return their shar back towards them. Look at the greatness of the meaning of their dua. It shows how, didn't Imam Ali al-Islam say, Al-mar'u makhbu'un tahta lisanihi, a man is hidden under his tongue. So their call, the statement of a person, reveals his level of ma'rifat and understanding, and in-depth understanding. So this is so true. Why are we demanding? Why a person would demand from Allah to kill somebody? If it was wajib on Allah to kill, he would have already done it himself. Isn't it right? He doesn't stand in need of me and you asking him to kill somebody. Allah is just, he's adil. Why wouldn't he himself kill if it was wajib on him to do so? If the adalat and justice requires that, God is just, he would himself do it. He doesn't stand in need of me asking him to kill somebody. He's still keeping the person alive. Isn't that right? Because there are certain wisdoms. And his absolute wisdom is always superior. We don't understand. In so many cases, we don't understand. So when we don't understand, let's not try to impose our ignorance-based opinion over Allah's will and irada, which is based on absolute wisdom. Imam Hussain alayhi salam was massacred ruthlessly, but you don't find in any du'as of Imam Hussain, although he was mustajab al-da'wah, obviously. His du'a is always accepted by Allah. He's so close. And our du'as are accepted if we go to his haram, you know, istajabat al-du'a tahta kubbatihi. Anybody who can go under the dome of the shrine of Imam Hussain, anybody who can go there under his dome, his du'a is accepted, for sure, guaranteed, without exception. So when anybody's du'a is accepted, of course his du'a is obviously accepted. But did you find any hadith of Imam Hussain alayhi salam before his shahadat, he ever prayed, oh my Lord, kill Yazid? Show it to me in any hadith. Oh my Lord, kill Ibn Ziyad. Did you find in any du'a like this? Imam Hussain ever saying like this? Yazid survived for next 2 years, isn't that right? Yazid stayed in power for next 2 years. This is the ma'rifat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. So we don't interfere in the divine wisdoms. There are certain superior divine wisdoms. Allah is taking certain jobs from every particle of this universe, is performing an assigned task. Whether we are able to discover that or we are unable, it's a different story. But everything, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes his services from people, min aqwamin la khalaqa lahum, from nations who have no benefit that they would get on the Day of Judgment. No ukhrawi gain. Allah takes services from people who are not going to get any benefit of what they did on the Day of Judgment. Allah is taking some jobs, some services. Allah is making them do certain things for them. Even the kuffar, even the munafiqeen, even the murtad people, even the mulhideen who have nothing to do with the belief of Allah, agnostics, atheists. Allah is not killing all of them. Isn't that right? Until the time of death arrives according to his wisdom, he's not killing any one of them. So there's something, some wisdom, some benefit, some services that Allah is taking out of them. We don't understand those services. Let's not mess up and penetrate into his domain, what he's doing and handling and and what tasks he's performing through different things. Every particle has a task to do, you know. Even the blowing of the wind, you know. Arsalna riyaha lawaqiha. So we find even the winds are basically perform the job combining the plants, making plants, the female and the male plants, to get combined together to bear the results for the plantations. So every blowing of the wind has a reason behind it. Why and when and how much would the wind blow? So even from the zalimeen, it's the same. Allah is taking benefit from everyone. So we are not supposed to do this. What I was saying to you is that our du'as are no comparison. So our urafa, what they ask is that Allahumma, O my Lord, return the shar of the evil people or the zalimeen towards themselves. That's the best du'a that you can ask, instead of saying to Allah, O my Lord, kill the zalimeen straight away. That will show your ignorance if you say that. So we should perform our fariza, arrange for the we should work hard to perform the asbab, the causes. Aballahu an yujri al-umur illa bi asbabiha. The hadith of the Holy Prophet says Allah rejects to perform the things except through its causes. So you want to achieve something, you have to do the cause. So don't stop performing your fariza in terms of going for the causes. So we have to go for the cause. You know, this guy came to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and said, you know, pray to me for Allah that Allah gives me risk. And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam refused straight away. Can you imagine? Imam refused straight away. And he was kind of, surprised by Imam's behavior. They are Rauf, Rahim, the Madhar of Arhamur Rahimeen, the name of all those names of Allah. All the names of Allah. And Imam Sadiq refused to pray for him, for his risk. And when he asked, Imam said that, in other words, because you are intending, you want that you stay home and Allah provides risk to you in your home. This is not going to happen. I mean, you have to go out and perform your side of the job, and then you rely on about the result on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If somebody stays home and doesn't do his side of the fariza in duty, and then he thinks and prays to Allah to give me risk right here in home without me doing anything and staying idle, this guy is one of the six people whose du'as are already rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are six category of people mentioned in the hadith whose du'as will not be accepted. So this is one of those six who doesn't go for the asbab, in other words. So we find we need to go for the asbab, the causes, perform the best of our efforts as commanded, not rely on any of those causes during our performance and after our performance, and rely completely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's absolute wisdom in terms of achieving the results. Whether it's about your risk and sustenance, whether it's about your plantations, the crops in the fields, the whatever we sow, harvest, whatever is it about, it may be about our marriages, it may be about our getting cured from the illnesses. It can be about anything of our life. The same rule applies in all the cases. So, and whoever relies on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is sufficient enough. مَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Whoever relies on Allah, Allah is enough for him. Also in the hadith, we find that إِنَّ الْغِنَى, please pay attention, إِنَّ الْغِنَى وَالْعِزْ يَجُولَانِ فَإِذَا ظَفَرَ بِمَوْضِعِ التَّوَكُّلِ أَوْطَنَى. That means richness and honor, izzat, dignity. They are roaming around. When they find the place of tawakkul, that's where they settle down. That's where they take it as their home. So, what we learn in the light of this beautiful statement, hadith, is that if you want to achieve izzat and dignity, and if you want to become rich, then you have to first make sure that you have tawakkul. Because izzat and dignity and richness will be found in the place of tawakkul only, nowhere else. So those who have tawakkul will be the only ones who will end up becoming, having richness and the izzat and dignity. Let's be clear that when we are talking about richness, it doesn't mean richness in terms of having more material funds in our control. Richness actually is not of the money. Richness is actually ghina nafs. That means your soul has the richness. Okay, so you don't stand in need of anyone else other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the soul sustainer. That's the real richness found in the soul. Man i'tasama billahi, man i'tasama billahi asama Allah. Whoever gets protected through Allah, Allah protects him. Also in the hadith it says that man u'tiya tawakkul u'tiya al-kifaya. Whoever has been given the tawakkul, he has been given kifaya. Kifaya means sufficing. Allah suffices for him. So if you have tawakkul, then you will always find Allah sufficing for you. Also in the hadith we find kun lima la tarju arja minka lima tarju. Be more hopeful about what you did not expect from Allah as compared to your hope about what you expected. Be more hopeful about what you did not expect. See where the Prophet is asking, leading us to end up thinking and believing that kind of trust, things that we don't even expect from Allah, even have hope in those, about those things, not only the things that you expect, beyond your expectations. فَإِنَّ مُوسَى عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ, the hadith says, because Musa, Prophet Moses, Musa عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ خَرَجَ يَقْتَبِسُ لِأَهْلِهِ نَارًا وَرَجَعَ نَبِيًّا. Hadith says, because Prophet Musa عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ, in other words, he went to grab some fire, you know, in the story you remember, then he saw something lighted up and he kept his wife and child to wait there, and then he went there to, because it was cold, and so he wanted to fetch some fire and come back for his family. So basically he went there to get some fire in the cold, and when he came back being the prophet, he was already commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to basically start the assignment. So coming back as a prophet, going there for the fire, coming back as an assignment of the prophethood. وَخَرَجَتْ مَلَكَةُ سَبَى فَأَسْلَمَتْ مَعَ سُلَيْمَانِ. Another example that the hadith mentioned about the fact that be more hopeful about that what you did not expect from Allah as compared to your hope regarding what you expected. So the queen of Sheba, Malaka Saba, she went out. She didn't go out to become a Muslim. Isn't that right? She was a kafira. Like what the Hudhud narrates. You know, inni wajadtu. مددتها وقومها يعبدون يسجدون للشمس من دون الله وزين لهم الشيطان أعمالهم فصدهم عن السبيل فهم لا يعقلون. So I saw her and her nation worshipping and doing sajda for the sun, and shaitan has blocked them from the path, so they don't think, in other words. Not the exact translation, so that's what we learn. So basically Hudhud, the hoodoo, narrates the story when, you know, Prophet Sulaiman used to govern over the wind and the jinns and also the animals. So birds used to put their shadow on top of him, so they used to keep on flying on over his head, rovering on top of his head. So when he found there's the sun ray coming from one side on his head, so there's a gap, so he looked up and he found that the Hudhud, was that bird, was missing. So he said that I'm going to slaughter him, that means slaughter this bird, unless he brings some, you know, evidence, in other words. So and in a short while Hudhud came back and he brought this news, and he said to Prophet Sulaiman that jatuka min sabain bi naba'in yaqeen inni wajadtu imra'atan tamlikuhum utiyat min kulli shay' wa laha 'arshun 'azeem, and the whole story. So he, at that was the time when Hudhud came back and brought the news for Prophet Sulaiman, and that, you know, I found a nation and there's a woman ruling over them and they worship sun, they do sajda for sun. So that's where, so then Malka of Saba sent a gift for Prophet Sulaiman. That's how the kings do, you know. They she was trying to say to her people that if we you know, when the kings, because when Hudhud presented the unique letter from Hazrat Sulaiman, Hazrat Sulaiman gave a letter, innahu, you know, the Quran says innahu min Sulaiman wa innahu bismillahir rahmanir rahim Allah ta'ala alayya wa atuni muslimin. That was the text that Hazrat Sulaiman wrote, bismillahir rahmanir rahim Allah ta'ala alayya wa atuni muslimin, that don't be have ulu or feel high over me and come to me as Muslims. So she sent a gift for Prophet Sulaiman, and Prophet Sulaiman didn't care about her gift. He said, you know, ma atani Allahu khayrun mimma ataakum bal antum bihadiyyatikum tafrahoon, what Allah has given me is better than what Allah has given you. So he didn't care about that. So she didn't come out of her, the wrong story short, she didn't come out towards Prophet Sulaiman to become a Muslim. But look what happened at the end. She turned as she became a Muslim, and then Prophet Sulaiman married her. So she became a Muslim. So we find that we should have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, to expect what is more than our expectations. And the third example with the hadith mentions is kharaja saharatu fir'aun yutalibuna al-izzata li fir'auna faraja'u mu'minin. There's a third example that the hadith mentions, that the magicians of Fir'aun were seeking izzat and dignity next to Fir'aun, in other words. But so basically Fir'aun gathered when he found himself helpless in front of Prophet Musa alayhi salam. So what Pharaoh did, he gathered some of those magicians to show magic to overpower the miracle of Prophet Musa. Magicians came, they were brought, and they were expecting to get some high position, some position with Pharaoh. Pharaoh should, you know, end up giving them something, some, you know. So they were seeking becoming high and dignified and muazzaz in the darbar, in the rule of Fir'aun. So this is what they were seeking. But when at the end of the day we find Prophet Musa came and he threw his asa, and they threw their small ropes that seemingly people thought that they were small snakes. They were not snakes, because magic is nothing but kufr. It's not a reality. So it seems to be like that, but it's not a real thing. So it's people thought, and people, it seemed to the people that those were snakes. They were not snakes. Then Prophet Musa, when he threw his asa, his stick, converted into a big python, and it engulfed all those little snakes, and that's how those magicians of Pharaoh, they bow down into the sajda, and they accepted on the Lord of Prophet Musa and Harun. So became mu'min. So they, Pharaoh punished them, for kept them into the prison for 3 days and cut off their hands and feet. That's what he said, you know. So he cut off the hands and feet from the opposite directions, like right hand and left feet, or the left hand and the right feet, and imprisoned them for 3 days, and then they were crucified. So after 3 days, for these 3 days, last 3 days of their life, they were mu'mins. So they turned out to be mu'mins. So always expect more than what you expect from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Last of all, before I end with what the hadith says, that man ahabba, this is from Imam Rida alayhi salam, where he says that man ahabba an yakuna atqa an-nas falyatawakkal ala Allah. Whoever loves to be the most pious of all the people should have tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So breaking away from the causes, performing the fariza, going for the causes, doing your side of the duty, not ignoring your duty. That means you do go for the causes, you do your duty, but never get attached to any of the causes. Rely on Allah and the result. Expect more than what you can even expect from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how you can secure your high levels of taqwa. So we find that applying the same theory of tawakkul, our Prophet and Imams alayhi salatu wasalam have been focusing on their fara'id, and then didn't care what happens after that, whether they live or they die. So we find إِلَهِ حَبْلِ كَمَالًا إِنْقِطَاعِ إِلَيْكَ وَأَنِرْ أَبْصَارَ قُلُوبِنَا بِضِيَاءِ نَظَرِهَا إِلَيْكَ. Oh my Lord, give me the perfect breaking away towards you. That means I break away from all the causes and I rely on you, and make the vision, the eyes of my soul illuminous because of your looks at me, your nazar. So one nazar of Allah, if Allah looks at our heart once, this is going to cause nuraniyat for our qalb. So وَأَنِرْ أَبْصَارَ قُلُوبِنَا بِضِيَاءِ نَظَرِهَا إِلَيْكَ حَتَّى تَخْرِقَ أَبْصَارُ الْقُلُوبِ. What happens when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks with at the qalb, and the vision of the soul becomes luminous, we find that this vision of the qalb and this nuraniyat of the qalb can rip apart the curtains of nur. Curtains are of two types in ilm al-akhlaq. There are certain curtains of madda, certain material curtains, and as we move forward in the purification process in the higher stages, when you reach the higher stages, there is no longer the matter available to block you from Allah. It's all nur, the world of nur. But then you have Hijabat of Noor, which has become even further harder to remove. Hijabat of Madda is easier to remove, but Hijabat of Noor are harder to remove, because a person keeps on getting, you know, deceived that I'm okay, I'm fine, I'm already there in the world of Noor. So this becomes harder to get out of this deception and waswasa. Hatta takhriqa absar al qulub hujub al noor fa tasila ila ma'dan al azama. So you reach towards the mineral of greatness. Wa tasira arwahuna mu'allaqatan bi'izz qudsik. At the end of the day, what happens? The souls will be hanging with the dignity of Allah's holiness. So this beautiful dua teaches us the process of reaching close towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, in the next lesson we will talk about the other thing, which is Hurriyat and the true freedom. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Let's read the ziyarat of our family. السلام عليك يا رسول الله السلام عليك يا أمير المؤمنين السلام عليك يا فاطمة الزهراء سيدة النساء